Heart Alice Heart I by Amy Conroy. Don't know what it is that makes me love you so.
Walk on and stand facing the audience.
Look at the audience.
Look left, look right. Take them all in.
They are not your enemies. They are your friends.
There is nothing to be nervous about.
Breathe. Smile. Relax.
Just say the words as you said them to me, as we rehearsed them.
If you get lost or stuck, stop. Find where you are on the map and carry on.
Have fun.
Enjoy yourself.
Don't panic.
Have fun. She tots loudly when people drop litter.
She expects people to move out of her way.
I often say, that's Bass.
I watch Nationwide and I think Michael Ryan is handsome.
I like Turkish Delight and rice pudding.
I like a grease down the middle of my slacks.
She eats marmalade on cheddar cheese.
I wear stockings and I call a dint a dint. I say dint.
I always finish the first layer before moving down to the second.
She has a post office account.
I boil tea towels on the cooker.
I consider chocolate biscuits a luxury. I have never and will never have my hair set. We don't go for spins. We count our own change and carry our own bags. We shop for groceries, not messages.
We normally go to Super Quinn on Sun Drive. Better fresh fruit and veg. Failing that, Mark's in Dundrum, but that's really an excuse for two packets of Percy Pigs and maybe the cinema. Provided we bought nothing frozen. I made that mistake once and ended up with Ben and Jerry's all over the boot. So I don't really know why we ended up in Crumlin Shopping Centre.
The phone rang.
Oh, yes. Alice said she had a headache and then I got a phone call from my niece. That delayed us. At that stage, traffic would have been a nightmare and we figured Crumlin Shopping Centre was probably closer. I was hungry and we'd nothing nice.
I had made spaghetti bolognese the night before and there was plenty left. It was pouring with rain and who do you think you are was on at 9. I really didn't want to go shopping.
I don't really like her spaghetti bolognese.
I didn't really have a headache.
We were cranky.
I very seldom lose my temper with her, but when she speaks for me it makes me very cross.
I was cranky. Alice is not normally moody, so I knew her headache must have been a bad one. I was trying to ease the tension and make her laugh by deliberately mispronouncing things. Fajitas. Dal mayo sauce. Salmon darnés. Making Alice laugh is one of my favourite things. Her eyes close up and sort of change colour. They go from green to turquoise, from matte to gloss. I always say she has Dulux weather shield eyes. Beautiful, but tough. The ice melted when I put the jalapeno relish into the trolley.
Jalapeno, it's jalapeno.
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 And she smiled, a real smile, warm. I love that, when she smiles in spite of herself. I winked at her, just to be cheeky. And she laughed. There it was. I couldn't help it. Before I realised what I was doing, I kissed her on the lips by the marmalade.
She kissed me. She kissed me in the soup and canned goods aisle of Tesco's. Jesus Christ.
I had a mild panic. I shocked myself. We've always been very discreet about things like that.
Very, very discreet.
It's easier, I suppose. Safer that way. No backlash. We were always aware of what could happen. We could lose our jobs.
Public displays of affection. Our niece calls them PDAs.
I kind of stunned myself. I didn't realise what I was doing until I had done it. I scanned the aisle for stares or blushes and there were none. The place was fairly quiet and it looked like we got away with it. We skittered and laughed for about 10 minutes with panic and relief. Alice was puce. We felt kind of liberated, so I put a chocolate gâteau into the trolley.
I lost the car keys. I'm always losing things. There's a little tear in the lining of my handbag and they had slipped inside. I found €50 in there once, so I should have thought to look, but I wasn't thinking straight. I was flustered and a little all over the place. I was sure I'd left them on the deli counter. Alice said she'd wait for me by the door. I'm always amazed at her patience.
I was still thinking about the kiss, so I told Alice I'd meet her by the exit.
The two ladies that cut the ham looked for them. I searched the flat fridge with the fancy cheese as well. Nothing other than Kilmeaton is fancy these days, apparently. And a manager humoured me and checked to see if I'd dropped them by the tills. I didn't recognise the woman Alice was talking to when I came back. But they seemed to be having a serious conversation. She wrote her number down and was off before I reached them.
Please don't panic, she said. But I saw you two in Tesco. I saw your kiss and it was beautiful. Oh, dear God, I thought. Bear with me. I'm not being weird. I'm an actor and a writer. I've wanted to make a show for a long time and you are exactly what I've been looking for. Can we sit and talk? I'd love to invite you to lunch or coffee. Here's my number. Please think it over. I'm not mocking you and there's no ulterior motive. I promise. She saw us. I was mortified. Alice was going to kill me.
Alice was flushed and her eyes were kind of electric. I can always tell when something has caught her attention. She was distracted. I told her someone had handed the keys into customer service. I don't know why I lied.
I tried to explain the encounter, the conversation to Alice in the car on the way home, but I think I was rambling. I couldn't articulate what I was thinking. I didn't really know what I was thinking. At first I thought the girl was having me on. Obviously she wanted something, but I couldn't figure out what her angle was. Where was the catch? What was she up to? If I'm honest, something about her, something about what she said, caught my attention. I believed her, I think.
The introduction.
Oh.
Introduction.
I'm Alice, and this is Alice.
I'm Alice, and this is Alice.
She's Alice Slattery.
I'm Alice Slattery, and she's Alice Kinsella.
I'm Alice Kinsella.
I was born on the 27th of May, 1948.
I was born on the 20th of October, 1946.
She's 2 years older.
I am 1 year and 7 months older. This doesn't really bother me.
It bothered her when she turned 40. It
bothered me when I turned 40.
And 50.
And 50.
And 60.
And 60.
And other times in between, it annoys her.
It doesn't annoy me. I think I'm a little rash and can seem impetuous next to her. She can be very cautious and considered. We had to sit down for a week with pen and paper to weigh out the pros and cons of making the big switch from electricity to airtricity. Lists, pros and cons. And that's how all our decisions are made. I mean, it makes total sense, but Lord Almighty.
Alice makes me move more than I would naturally, if that makes sense. She forces me to act fast and do things that, given the chance to think about, I wouldn't dare, shouldn't dare. She's adventurous. She organises all our holidays so that they're jam-packed, fun from start to finish. Travelling is our luxury, our extravagance. I think my favourite trip was Greece. The scenery, the relaxed way of life, the food, the red scene, and the sandy beaches. No one bothering us. It was like pressing pause on the world. My least favourite trip was India. I really didn't like it. I don't understand why anyone would go on holidays to the third world. I needed a holiday to recover from my holiday.
Alice fell off a camel years ago in Rajasthan, India. That day she wanted to see some palace, but I wanted to do the camel ride across the sand dune. And anyway, we were given brief camel riding instructions and then we were off. Something must have spooked Alice's camel because he took off like a shot. The saddle yoke came undone and she started to slide down the side of the camel. It looked like she was sitting horizontally. She landed with a thump and a billow of sand. The poor thing. There were about 10 Americans there sniggering into their sleeves. And I'm embarrassed to admit that I laughed too. Just the look on her face was the funniest. It was absolute panic and total mortification. She laughed it off and got straight back on. I was so proud. She had to sit in a cushion for the next 2 weeks. We only went to palaces after that.
I worked in the bank.
I was a clerk in the National Gallery.
Both retired. I could tell Alice was quietly intrigued by the girl from the shopping centre. I was less convinced. She didn't say much about it, but it was obviously on her mind. I can read her like a book. I kept catching her, watching me doing mundane things. I finally cracked while doing the dishes. "Stop staring at me, Alice."
"One of us will die,"
she said.
"And then where will we be? When we're gone, that's it. What will we have actually achieved?"
I never really wanted to bang drums, cause a scene or draw attention. I thought that's what Al wanted too. "Fine, ring the girl, see what she has to say,"
she said. "Prose. Fun, exciting, challenging, insightful, triumphant, beautiful, a testimonial. We will be seen.
Cons. Damaging, boring, indulgent, frightening, invasive, insidious, dangerous. We will be seen."
I rang her and she invited us to lunch. Alice sulked.
She went all out, very posh.
She made antipasti of mozzarella, chilli and lemon crostini, aubergine and mint bruschetta with a couscous salad.
I was impressed.
We knew she meant business. We were expecting a ham sandwich.
For afters, we had lemon drizzle cake and espresso. I love cake, any cake.
She explained what she wanted to do. She wanted to make a show. She was a little unsure about the whole thing herself. She was only just discovering it. But she wanted to make it with us. There was a lot of fun, flattery and attention. By the end of lunch, I felt important, like our story mattered. We didn't commit to anything but discussing it, and that we'd ring her in a day or two.
She proposed that we would meet every week, sometimes together, sometimes separately, and she would ask us a series of questions. She was interested in memories, opinions and stories, getting to know you kind of thing. She promised that there would be no judgment, and that if we didn't want to discuss something, then we wouldn't have to.
"The more mundane, the better,"
she said. Why in God's name would we want to do that? I'd be mortified. Making myself vulnerable. Ridiculous. God, the embarrassment. What would people say? I've always cherished what Alice and I have together. Talking about it would feel cheap, like we were belittling it or giving it away. Who in their right minds would want to know about this? Anonymity. I used to crave it. When Alice and I first started seeing each other, the anonymity and illicitness was delicious. Our own private world. Our utopia. Unfortunately, that can never be sustained. Eventually, you have to start letting people in. That's life. Then come the questions. "Are you gay now?" "But you were married." "Are you sure? Maybe you're just lonely. Aren't you two best friends?"
"Isn't it nice for them to have each other? Oh, you'd never think it by looking at them."
"With every person I meet, I have to decide. Will I remain invisible or will I tell them? How do I tell them? Do I need to tell them?" I'm embarrassed to admit that I've lied about us regularly over the years. It's a horrible guilt, denying the person you love, denying the life you've built together. We don't fly the rainbow flag. We've never publicly danced or kissed. Well, not until that day in Tesco's. We seem to blend. I decided not to be part of the show, the interviews or the process. If Alice wanted to do it, then she had to do it without me.
I was really disappointed in Alice when she said no, but it was her choice. So I began without her. Coffees, meetings, tape recorders and cameras. What have I gotten myself into? I wanted to back out, but I didn't want to give Alice the thought of it. She kept asking me what we were talking about, afraid we were talking about her. Well, of course we were talking about her. We were talking about me, my life, my past, and she is a big part of that. I wouldn't give her any details. I said, if you're in, you're in. If you're not, you're not. Simple as that. I knew that'd drive her mad.
The secrecy of it. I think Alice thought she was changing the world. I was annoyed at her for doing this, for wanting to do it. We didn't talk properly for about a week. It was the elephant in the room. I finally gave in about a month into it and got involved, primarily to keep an eye on what she was saying. I'm still not sure I made the right choice.
She left the process 3 times. Once over the title.
It was almost called Old People Don't Smell. Frankly, that's just insulting.
It was a joke. It was never going to be called that. Being called old didn't sit well with me, though. I never really feel old. Sometimes I give myself a fright when I see me accidentally, like in the window of a passing car or in a mirror in a shop. One of those mirrors at a funny angle where you look into one and you look for yourself in another. And it takes my breath away. Is that me? Is that what people see? An old lady, an older lady.
People don't see the life I've lived. They don't know that I've breathed in the misty air overlooking Niagara Falls. They don't know that I've been kissed in a hot air balloon, the kind of kiss that made me blush. They don't see the me that buried my husband. They just see an unassuming older lady. Well, I don't like scones and I don't drink tea. I wonder would that shock them.
I am 2 years older than my sister Mary, and we are polar opposites. I adore her and her family. We're very close. But when we were younger, sure, it was a different story. She was always around, annoying me. I think that's a prerequisite for younger sisters.
Here's a picture here. Pass it around.
She and her little friend used to follow me everywhere. I remember making them laugh, especially Mary's friend. She was a quiet yet giddy girl. But once she started laughing, that was the end of it. She was off. Mary was off, and then I was off. She was a small, skinny girl with big eyes. She was quick to flush. Her hands were always pink, and she was prone to cold sores. She lived one street over and was a constant in our house, a part of the family. Her name was Alice Connolly. Now, Alice Slattery. I have known her all my life, and in some way, shape or form, I have loved her all my life.
Number 44, The Kinsellas, A Home Away From Home.
I left Ireland for London when I was 20. I was running away, really. Running away from myself. The funny thing about running away is you bring yourself with you. I had done a secretarial course here and I had dreams of becoming a journalist. I wanted to write. I wanted excitement. I wanted to live. I really believed I was going to pen the great novel of our times. It's not really something I'd easily confess to.
She was tall, cheeky and funny.
I moved into horrible digs in Kilburn, into a house that smelt of boiled cabbage and damp sofa.
Bossy. I remember her being very bossy.
I always remember Dublin seemed black and white, while London was in technicolour. I I started as a receptionist in a doctor's office, and after a few months I saw an advertisement for a secretarial position in a prominent London newspaper.
When Alice was in London, she worked for the Times. She won't tell you that, though.
It paid the bills. But really, it could have been any office anywhere.
The Times?
At the time, I believed that it was my big break. I submitted an idea or two over my years there, but really, they weren't having any of me. It makes me feel kind of foolish and naive now when I think about it.
But I, being poor, have only my dreams. I have spread my dreams under your feet. Tread softly, for you tread on my dreams. She had her spirit crushed a little, or bruised, maybe. She still writes, though.
It was there that I met Louise. She was a secretary, too. She was one of the funniest people I've ever encountered. For some bizarre reason, she adopted me, so to speak. Maybe she recognised herself in me, because I can't think of any other reason. If there was a party or shindig happening anywhere in London, her and her pals knew about it, and we were there.
Coffee?
Please, decaf. Thanks. They were kind of an arty, eccentric crowd, and I adored them. My landlady, Mrs. Murphy, detested them. She said they were dirty pagans and I should stay well clear of them. Of course, Louise was delighted with this when I told her, and it was her idea for us to take a flat together. Louise, Jen, another friend of hers, and I shared a two-bedroom flat, a disgusting communal loo, and all our clothes. Louise was different. She wore her skirts too short. She smoked too much. She never really ate. She drank vodka neat. And she went to bed with women. I was shocked, amazed by this. I had never heard anybody say this, admit it, like it was a real thing. There's no pretending or denying. She was a free spirit. You see, I was always on the outside, looking in at life, trying to figure out how to be a part of it, frantically grabbing at every new thought or idea, thinking that it must hold the answer, but you're never really understanding the question. I think of it as a wanting, like I wanted something, but I had no idea what that something was. One wet and thundery Friday night, Louise and I straggled home from the pub. We had drunk too much vodka and empty stomachs. We listened to Whiter Shade of Pale over and over, and I finally figured it out. I figured out the question and the answer in one fell swoop. Louise and I went to bed together that night. It felt natural. It felt right.
Cake.
Thanks. It sounds idyllic, but believe me, it wasn't. It was a bloody soap opera. Louise and I were lovers. Jen and Louise used to be lovers and were still occasional lovers. Jen had a boyfriend who loved her. She loved Louise and she liked me. Louise had other lovers. I was unaware of this. I had believed we were exclusive. Jen and I, in a bid to hurt Louise, became lovers. Louise was hurt. Then Jen and I actually started to have feelings for each other, but she still had a boyfriend who loved her. He was hurt. Louise slept with him. Jen was hurt. Jen and Louise were sleeping together. I was hurt. This went on for the best part of 2 years, and in between that time, there were other lovers. Eventually, Jen and I agreed to make a go of it. Jen broke up with the boy. I broke up with Louise. Jen broke up with Louise. Louise was fine, actually. She began seeing Fran. Fran used to go out with Jen's ex-boyfriend. It was all really incestuous. I only agreed to keep that section in the show if I could say it really fast and not have to elaborate on it.
I only agreed to keep that section in the show if she said it really fast and did not elaborate on it.
I still hear from Louise occasionally, but I have no idea where Jen is. Last I remember hearing, she had moved to the States. We lived together for 2 years, fought incessantly, and never managed to trust each other. I think she was still sleeping with Louise. So was I.
In 1974, Alice came back from London to nurse her mother. She was too thin. Oh. It looked like London had worn her down, but she swore she was having a ball. She didn't look like she was having a ball. She looked sick. Liam and I were married for 4 years at that stage. We were happy but complacent. She regaled us with stories of her life, parties and people in England. We were avid letter writers, so I felt I knew the people she was talking about from her letters over the years. She moved in with her mother and threw herself into caring for her. I think she felt guilty for not being there over the years. She took a part-time job in a shop. I know now that she was punishing herself, making herself too tired to think. The day we buried her mam was awful. Alice took care of everyone. Mary, Declan and Jack, her brothers, and all their young families. Teas, coffees, sandwiches, porter and whiskies later. When everyone had left, I looked for her to say goodbye. She was smoking down the garden, a habit she picked up in London. I walked down to her and found her sobbing. She looked like a child. She looked like the Alice I remembered from years ago. I threw my arms around her and I held her for ages. It felt like I was the only thing holding her up.
Sometime after my mother died, I told Alice about Louise and Jen. Well, about me, really. I told her, and I didn't really give her an option to be shocked or appalled. I was in bad shape at the time, and it seemed trivial to me, incidental. Alice didn't bat an eyelid.
I knew about Alice. I knew before she told me. Mary said it one night when we were out. It wasn't something often spoken about in our circle, so Mary was kind of sheepish, admitting it, worried more like. There was a fella I'd see at Mass that was said to be light on his feet. People would snigger, roll their eyes behind his back, but they were very nice to his face. It's easy to laugh when you don't really know the person, but I knew Alice, and there was nothing to laugh at.
I refused to receive communion at a wedding years ago. We didn't speak for about a week. I wasn't trying to upset her. I just couldn't do it anymore. I couldn't pretend to go along with something that offends me for austerity's sake. I had just had enough. Alice prays. I don't understand why. Over the years, I've seen enough to make me realise what a futile act that is. I do midnight mass at Christmas. I love the singing. People singing together moves me more than any miracle. But that's it. I know it bothers her deep down inside. I think she feels I need to come back to God so that we can be together in heaven. Well, I'm not so sure about that. Over recent years, I've come to think that when you die, you die. That's it. The end. This upsets Al, so we don't talk about it anymore. Now, there are a few things we don't talk about.
There are no atheists in foxholes.
But this is a big thing. She calls me an atheist, joking, but only kind of. I try to tell her it's not God, but the church that I have a problem with. But I think somewhere along the way they both got mixed up, intermingled in her eyes. She goes to Mass on Sunday mornings and always complains about getting up, especially when it's raining. But anyway, that's not the point. While she's at Mass, I buy newspapers and breakfast bits. I always rush the shopping. I have about 20 minutes to get it done so I can be back in bed when she gets in the door. She crawls back into bed and we have a re-morning. That's what we like to call it. I ask her if she's been saved. I suppose it sounds silly. We never discuss it. But this reclaims us, if you know what I mean. Like, the religion is a divide and this ritual brings us back together. You know?
I came in one Sunday morning and she was still asleep. I cajoled her like I always do. Then I realised she really was asleep. She hadn't been out to the shops. This was not part of the game. She was so tired. I had serious difficulty rousing her. She was cranky and off form, which really was not like her. After a week, she suggested the doctor herself. She hates doctors and hospitals. The doctor said it was probably just a virus, but while he had her there, he'd give her the full overhaul. That's when he found the lump.
My life really did flash before my eyes, and it seemed very small. A small life, a small existence.
Breast cancer. I thought I'd lost her when she was diagnosed. I had never felt so low. When Liam died, I was devastated. I lost my beautiful friend, my lovely husband. I had no idea how to pick up the pieces or where to even find the pieces. I loved him dearly. I always will. But I was never in love with him. I know it sounds like a bit of a cliche, but what can you do? Now, here I was faced with it again. But this time, I was furious with her for about a month. Angrier than I have ever been. I couldn't believe she'd do this to me, get sick, that she might leave me here alone. I started playing this horrible, sick game in my head. I would navigate the house and imagine that she was gone. I'd see the gaps in every room. I'd look around thinking, this is where she used to sit. This is where she threw the car keys every evening. This is where she scratched paint on the banister getting a headboard up the stairs. I would think of her in the past tense for about an hour every day. It sounds crazy, I know, but I had to see what it would feel like. I was pushing her away, and I did it at the worst possible time. She ended up comforting me. I don't know what I'd do without her. She is...
Had I done enough? Had I seen enough? Had I sat on the sidelines or played a full match? It made me re-evaluate my life. The good, the bad, and the ugly. In the mid-80s, Anne, not her real name, started interning in the gallery. An American student living and working in Ireland. She was 10 years younger than me. She was funny, smart, athletic, and very obviously gay. She was like a breath of fresh air, full of American idealism. It was the 80s when American idealism was popular. I had sort of adopted an eyes down, hands in your pockets policy, and, well, her openness was infectious. She made me laugh. We'd have lunch together, and on Wednesday evenings I'd have a drink in Peter's with her and her friends. I felt alive, more alive than I had in ages, almost celebratory. Anne was flirtatious and charming. She knew I had a partner and she didn't care. In fact, I think it's what she found most attractive. She was bold and irreverent. I fooled myself into believing that we were just friends. But truth be told, I knew what she was doing and I knew what I was doing. We had an affair that lasted about 6 months. There are a few things in my life that I regret and that I am ashamed of. This is one of them.
I was collecting Alice from town one evening. It was pouring with rain and I wanted to surprise her with a lift. They walked out together, laughing and gesturing wildly. And then Anne brushed Alice's cheek with her hand. I knew then. My mouth went dry and I sat there unable to move. Alice passed by unaware and got the bus home. I was in shock. I was livid. How could she do this to me, to us? Anne was everything I wasn't. And I wondered if that's why Alice liked her. I drove to Sandy Mount then and walked for hours, thinking and thinking. I knew I had to talk to her, confront her. I saw you. How long? Do you love her? Alice cried. I'm so sorry, she said. 6 months, she said. And no, I don't love her. But I love how she looks at me. I love that she likes who she is, that she likes who I am. You don't, Alice. You're ashamed of yourself and you're ashamed of me. I'm not asking you to live differently. Just think differently. I was so hurt. She'd never said this before. I have always been uncomfortable with nothing too overtly gay. I used to deem it unnecessary. I thought that people like that gave us all a bad name. I never stopped to think that we are all just responsible for ourselves. Moreover, that people like that are a celebration. Kenneth Williams and Graham Norton used to make me cringe. Now they annoy me simply because they're annoying. I'm not ashamed anymore, but I was then. It took a long time to work things out, to trust her again, to fix things, but we did.
We got through it, somehow. I was an absolute idiot.
Do we argue? That's gas, yes, we argue. Not as much as we used to, but we pick at small, silly things. I'm terrible at recycling, which really annoys her. So when I hear her cry...
How hard can it be?
I know I've put the plastic in the wrong place. And what's worse is it always makes me laugh that she gets so upset.
I'm not big on birthdays. I always say, I don't want anything, just get me a card. She says I'm impossible to buy for, but I always know she'll get me something anyway. 5 years ago, she got me a lawnmower. A lawnmower for my birthday. I think I sulked for about a week. I would have preferred a watch.
In my defence, she was looking at them in Woody's.
She was looking at paintbrushes. I did not surprise you with an extendable roller.
Menopause. Oh. Now that was intense. Imagine two moody, hairy women in one room. A recipe for disaster.
I hate to be a passenger when Alice is driving. She makes me nauseous. I'm sorry, Al, but you too.
Alice has a painting of the mother and child. It's a religious painting that she bought at a market in London years ago.
£15, haggled down from 20.
It looks it. I had it reframed a few years ago to make it less garish. But there is no saving it. It's appalling. I think she keeps it just to annoy me.
I know she thinks I keep that picture just to annoy her. But really, it's not like that. I do love it in all its tacky splendour. But I suppose I think of it as a totem, an anchor, a link to another time and place. Alice Slattery showed me what it felt like to breathe, to stop, that it's okay to stop and be still. She brings me a sense of calm and peace. I had never felt that before. I didn't know it was possible or that I deserved it. That picture brings me back to swinging London, back to the me I was then. The girl who kissed Dusty Springfield at a party in an upstairs flat in Ealing.
Allegedly.
I did.
He didn't.
It compounds all the choices I've made because none of that compares to what I have now. None of it. I think Alice is gorgeous. I always have.
I worried. At the beginning, I worried. Am I gay now? Is that what I am? But I'd been married. Was it even possible? Are there rules? Was I allowed to be gay? I didn't feel gay, but I loved Alice, so what did that make me? I prayed about it often. I prayed for answers. I never told Alice this, but sometimes I prayed for forgiveness. I thought I was weak, that I couldn't resist this. Maybe feeling this kind of love, this kind of attraction was common enough, but perhaps acting on these feelings was the thing we needed to control. I was scared we were going to hell. Follow the way of love. Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. I've made peace with myself. I know God loves me as I am.
For me, the shift in our relationship happened that year after my mother died. Alice Oh, Alice was a true friend. She was so supportive. We spent loads of time together and over the year became closer and closer. Liam was supportive too, in his own quiet way. I spent a lot of time in their house, sitting at their table. He always welcomed me and never made me feel like I was in the way. Liam was such a lovely, lovely man. I couldn't figure out why I disliked him so much. One evening we were sitting up late, listening to the Temptations. She was singing along and looking at me. Everything in me wanted to kiss her, to hold her close, and dance with her. Liam had gone to bed earlier. As he left, he kissed her on the lips, and I had to turn away. I was blushing so badly.
Let us go to the banks of the ocean.
My maiden name is Alice Connolly. I married Liam Slattery in 1970. I had wanted to stay in that night, but Mary dragged me along to a dance organising committee meeting. I was reading Wuthering Heights and I wanted to stay put. I was quite shy back then. Mary was mad. Sure, where would she be got? When we arrived in the hall, we were swallowed up by a boisterous crowd. Mary got stuck straight in and was put on decorations. I was put firmly in the background on sandwiches, ham and cheese and egg mayonnaise. Liam was the other lost soul on Sambo's. He blushed when I spoke to him. I put him on egg mayonnaise as the smell was turning my tummy and the onion was making me cry. We courted. I suppose that's the word you'd use for a few years after that. It's difficult to explain my relationship with Liam. I'm always terrified of sounding dismissive of him. I loved him. I didn't realise at the time that I was operating at half speed, that life was supposed to be faster and more passion-filled. I thought that this is what love was supposed to be. Sure, how would I have known? He died of a massive heart attack, age 31. That was fairly unheard of back then. I have a lot of guilt when I think about Liam. I feel I let him down, that I never loved him in the way that he loved me. He had a beautiful soul, and he was a beautiful friend. And that's all I have to say about that.
We always have music on in our house. Motown music is a favourite. I love it, and so does Alice. I used to send records home to Mary and the boys, and Al used to write to me and tell me which is her favourite. She loved Forever Came Today by Diana Ross and the Supremes. We saw Stevie Wonder last year and I was totally overwhelmed. We listened to Stevie, The Temptations, The Supremes, Gladys Knight. Most meals are prepared on the midnight train to Georgia. Alice does most of the cooking and I love to watch her. There's something about how she moves in that space, her control and command, I find compelling and very attractive.
I forgot about this bit.
Just judge it.
I thought you said we wouldn't be doing this till next week.
Good.
So go on. You start,
no, you start. No, I'm going to get another glass of wine.
Do you really do?
I'm just going to get more wine.
Oh, God.
Well, yes. Our first time.
It was arranged. Like we talked about.
No, we didn't.
Well, not talked about that, but we talked about the arrangement.
Oh, yes. Well, Al is a planner.
Well, somebody had to take charge.
I was invited to dinner.
Dinner.
Civilised.
I didn't call it civilised.
Yes, you did. You invited me over for a civilised dinner.
Oh, God, did I say that?
A civilised dinner, and I was to stay the night.
Oh, I was petrified.
You were drunk, Alice.
I was not drunk.
Well, I was. But not drunk. Drunk, but, you know, calm the nerves drunk. I had somehow managed to get my hands on a bottle of, What's that horrible wine, Alice?
I don't know.
No, you do. No, you know it from... Oh, God, blue non. Blue non.
Oh,
we struggled through the bottle over dinner. It was horrible. Sure, nobody drank wine at the time. And I was trying to impress. I was petrified.
I made quiche, Lorraine. I mean, I was also trying to impress. Ridiculous. I've been cooking for Alice for years.
Oh, she made a Victoria sponge cake for dessert, and that's my favourite. Oh, God, the effort.
Oh, it's hilarious now when I think about the whole thing.
Ahara, Alice, it's sweet.
I kept telling myself to stop panicking, that nothing had to happen if we didn't want it to, you know. It's difficult if you've been friends before lovers.
Oh, yes, but, like, you already have an intimate relationship anyway.
Yeah, and you have to change those old dynamics.
Well, you wanted to change those old dynamics.
Truth. Yeah. I just kept thinking, though, that you had done this before. I was so green.
Well, I had no experience with men. I hadn't a clue what I was up against.
Would you really just
The time came for bed.
We had been talking for hours.
We had been kissing for hours.
Alice,
well, we had.
Don't be so graphic.
Well, I would hardly call this graphic, considering the subject matter.
We decided it was time for bed. Alice had brought over her toothbrush and a nightie.
A nightie.
I remember how sweet that was. We both got into bed.
And we lay there in the dark for what felt like an eternity.
I was shivering.
I thought she was freezing.
Oh, nurse, no, it was nurse.
Well, Alice got an awful fit in the giggles.
Oh, I couldn't help it. I just kept thinking how funny it was. Like, in the greater scheme of things, here was I in bed with Alice Kinsler. And I loved her. I mean, loved her. Loved her.
Well, that broke the ice. I kissed her and she stopped laughing. We stayed in bed for 2 days. We survived on cold quiche and coffee.
Which was fantastic.
It was so romantic.
What were we so worried about? I mean, when you think about it, it was a revelation to me.
That's enough now. That's
enough
now.
Here, go on. Go on. Go on. Get me another glass of wine. That's hilarious when you think about it. Graphic. Oh, God.
6 months. It took us 6 months to work up to that conversation.
It took a lot of convincing. And a lot of wine.
An awful lot of wine.
We even had a toaster on the table with a bottle of blue nun. Oh, it's still terrible, terrible stuff. Stage 2, breast cancer. 1 modified radical mastectomy. 1 round of radiation therapy. 2 rounds of chemotherapy. I don't think I've ever heard more terrifying words. I still wake panicked from nightmares. The cancer is back and spreading. I think the fear must have breathing room in my dreams because I don't feel it when I'm awake. I must suppress it. I kept trying to figure out what I had done. What could I have done better? Is there any way I could have avoided this? But in reality, this is what took my mother, so it was always a danger for me. I was totally numb. In shock, I suppose. I felt nothing. Alice felt it for both of us. I've never seen her so angry. She was mad at God, mad at the world, mad at me. She stopped going to mass and followed me from room to room. She watched me as if at any moment I might just evaporate. I didn't have the energy to tell her it'd be all right. I didn't have the energy for a brave face and hopeful lies. One day, I found her sitting on the bed, crying. She had just gotten off the phone with Mary. They'd been discussing my affairs. I was outraged. I shouted at her.
What are you doing that for? I'm not going anywhere.
At that very moment, I knew I would be fine. I can't describe how or why. I just knew. I think we both felt the shift. We both cried And then we went out and had a celebratory bag of chips. I figured if I was fighting cancer, then a single of chips wasn't going to kill me. Now, don't get me wrong. It wasn't easy. I mean, there were some awful days.
Some awful days.
Days when I could barely lift my head off the pillow. Days when I just didn't want to talk to anyone. Days filled with anger, with why me's. Even now I find it hard to talk about, or to think about. I was almost run over by a hurtling bus trying to make the lights on Parnell Street once, and I get the same feeling when I think about that.
The what could have happened panic.
Yeah.
I took Alice on a holiday when she was given the all clear. We went to Florida. Alice joked that's where all the old people go, but I know she was excited. We flew into Orlando International Airport and we stayed in a posh hotel for 3 nights.
We stayed in the Gaylord Palms Hotel. I laughed about that for the entire 7-hour flight. It was gorgeous and enormous. There was a massive indoor pond with alligators, and real alligators, and a massive outdoor pool with no alligators, obviously.
Al wouldn't swim. She says she wasn't in the mood, that there was too much to see.
We went to SeaWorld. I know it's for kids, but I loved it. Dolphins, penguins, sharks, sea lions, killer whales, and horses. Horses, yeah. I don't know why they have horses in SeaWorld. We reckon they're secretly feeding them to the orcas.
She hadn't worn her swimming togs since her operation. I knew she was embarrassed and probably scared.
We hired a car and headed for Boca Raton. We have friends who live there in a beautiful condominium. Now, I'm still unclear as to the difference between an apartment and a condominium, but anyway, there's a condo, apparently.
We hired a car and we headed for the Keys.
I drove. We listened to Dusty Springfield on the satellite radio.
I don't care for Dusty Springfield. The scenery was stunning. Oh, turquoise water, small squat palm trees, big old oak trees with hanging Spanish moss swaying in the occasional breeze. History seemed palpable the further south we went. We left plastic Florida behind and entered quaint, still and stifling Florida, Tennessee Williams, Florida. We ate key lime pie in Key West. Alice swears she saw Kelly McGillis in a restaurant.
We stayed in a stunning guest house with a wooden veranda and overhead fans. We drank gin and tonic in rocking chairs and we met Kelly McGillis, the girl from the Top Gun film in a restaurant.
I did not see Kelly McGillis.
She did, and she was absolutely lovely.
Alice finally swam in the Gulf of Mexico. She was beautiful. The trip was wonderful. It was exactly what we needed. I think it took about 5 years off us.
And put about 5 pounds on us.
It really got me thinking about my life, my future. Seeing Alice sick, really sick, scared me. It shook me to my core. The fragility of life, the emphasis we place on stupid, silly things. What would happen if one of us died? We've no children. No legal binds, only a joint bank account and a co-owned house. What would I do if I lost her? It took me so long to find her. It took me so long to realise I was looking for her. When she left for London all those years ago, I cried for days. I felt a sadness beyond the measure of the situation. The night before she left, we gathered for a drink in town.
Bose,
I think it was. She was excited and nervous. Her friends from home and the girls from the Secretariat College were in flying form. Her mother had given her £20 for London. My mother gave her a fiver, which was a lot of money back then. I gave her a card and a hug on Fleet Street that lasted just a second too long. I lost her once. I couldn't lose her again. We walked down Duval Street, holding hands. That's the main drag in Key West. It's full of bars and restaurants that spill out onto the street. People eating al fresco and laughing over glasses of wine. No one gave us a second glance, except for a young man with an arm full of tattoos. Yeah. He smiled at us. We walked away from the crowd and we stood on a wooden walkway overlooking the beach. We watched the sunset where the Atlantic Ocean meets the Gulf of Mexico. It was warm and still, almost dreamlike. I asked Alice to marry me, and she said yes.
We watched our first gay pride parade this year under duress. I really didn't want it, but just for the good of the show, apparently.
All the colour, the costumes, the noise. There was a young man at the parade, called us cute. We were holding hands. I swung around and was just about to tell him, I'm a grown woman. I'm not cute. Babies are cute. Puppies are cute. I'm not. Don't patronise me, you arrogant idiot. When I realised he was talking to his friend on the opposite footpath, I nearly died. I was mortified. He looked at me like I was mad. Alice thought it was hilarious. He wished me a happy bride. It was nice.
There were all types of people there. Young, old, gay, straight, with families and without. I realised we all have a place. We all belong. We're all just people and we all just do our best. I'm 64 and I've a lot to learn.
In making this show, we have argued, cried, shouted and sulked, talked and remembered, smiled and laughed. We laughed an awful lot. Several times it begged the question, what in God's name are we doing this for? It took me a long time, but I finally figured it out. I don't want to hide anymore. I'm proud of me, and I'm proud of us. We've been together for 28 years, and we plan to be married on our 30th anniversary. Not a civil partnership, a marriage.
We are here. We were here all along. Somebody has to do this, to stand up and be seen. We can't, in good conscience, always leave it to others. So, here we are. Warts and all. We have lived well. We have loved well. Alice, will you dance?
I will.
My first love, you're every breath that I take, you're every step I make,
and I want to share all my love with you.
That was I Heart Alice Heart I by Amy Conroy. Claire Barrett played Alice Slattery. Amy Conroy played Alice Kinsella. Music editing was by Jack Cawley. Sound supervision was by Damien Chanel. I Heart Alice Heart I was written and directed by Amy Conroy. The producer was Kevin Brew. The series producer of radio drama is Kevin Reynolds.